And our scripture this morning is found in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. Depends on which syllable you put the accent. Anyway, you can go ahead and turn there. That's on page 1365. It may not be one of the places where we spend a lot of time reading, but I was reading here recently in chapter 2. Came to this passage of Scripture beginning at verse 18. I'd start now talking about idolatry, just giving you the background to that. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? A molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its molds should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, awake! To silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Reading that, you know, that is tremendous truth. But the Lord is in his temple. As Habakkuk was writing, he's saying, look, there are those who serve these useless idols that they made themselves and then pretend that they can talk or somehow communicate. But I want to let you know that our Lord is in. He is in his temple. Now, we recognize that he was talking about the temple of his day and the Old Testament, a building there that had been built and constructed for the worship of the Lord. But I'm reminded in the New Testament that we are informed that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are. Our bodies house the Lord. The Lord is in his temple. In us. Aren't you thankful for that? And when I was thinking through that, you know what that means? That means that we have the presence of the Lord with us. He goes with us. Take those old dumb idols, and they sat off in a corner someplace, or even if they put them up in some kind of a pedestal and that kind of thing, but when you walked away from them, you walked away from them. They stayed where they were. They didn't move. But I'm thankful that we serve the Lord God who goes with us, and we have his presence and knowledge. I am not alone. And he brings with us his, himself, his presence in your life. That is one of the big differences between knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and a whole bunch of other religions in our world. They don't promise the presence of God. But we have the presence of God in our lives. And it begins the end of loneliness in our lives. I was thinking about that. You know, when I come home from work or wherever and my wife is there, I am not alone. But I'm thankful that wherever I go, the Lord goes with me. Wherever you go, the Lord goes with you. But that's not the only thing. Not only is presence, but protection. The Lord is in our lives, and we have his protection. A number of years ago, when I had the opportunity of traveling with Brother Street, who was leading a mission trip to Guyana, South America, and was down there, had the opportunity to do some teaching. Well, they didn't have not room for all of us to stay in one place. So they asked if it'd be all right if I stayed with a layman, and that was fine. I was glad to do it. So I stayed there. The only thing, as I found out, that his wife was not there. She was away on business, and so he had a small boy. So he had a housekeeper that was coming in. Well, he had to go to school in the morning, and that would leave me with the female housekeeper in this house by ourselves, and I didn't really feel comfortable doing that. So I asked him, I said, well, hey, could you just drop me off, take me and drop me off where everybody else is and at the parsonage on your way to go into school? He said, well, he could do that. So we started out. He had his bicycle, and we were walking. Now, I realized then I was trying to walk fast, but I realized he usually goes faster than this, and I'm slowing him down. So I'm trying to walk along, and we're walking along, and they get to this one point, and he kind of looks at his watch, and then he says to me, tell you what, here's all you need to do. Go straight down that street till it ends and turn right, and then take that street, and it will take you right to the back of the church. Bye. And he got on his bicycle and rode off. And I started down this street by myself. I guess maybe it wouldn't have been so bad, except that the houses were built right beside another, whatever, that reminded me of Chicago. The not-so-good parts of Chicago. And the further I walked, the more the fear just came over me. And I'm thinking, I'm in a different country. This is not Chicago. If I was in a place like this in Chicago, that's not a place I should be by myself. Now, well, you know the end of the story. I'm here. So anyway, I went all the way down the street, and sure enough, it came to a T, and I turned right, and I walked down that street, and sure enough, it came right up to the back of the church, and I just walked in and then on over to the parsonage, and it was all fine. But you know, we face these situations in life where we have fear, and it needs to be replaced with faith in the Lord. And there are times when we just simply have to call on Him and ask Him to demonstrate that He is in our lives. And He will walk with us in those situations. He is in His temple. He is in you. Not only His presence and His protection, but also His power. The end of failure. I'm thankful that the Lord is in. A number of years ago, I woke up. And I got up, and I'm thinking, boy, I feel a little funny. And I started headed toward the bathroom, out of the bedroom, and I walked right into the door frame. And I thought, this is really weird. I have walked through this door lots of times. The further I got, the worse I felt. I was so dizzy. Things started spinning. So I went and laid back down again. And I, well, we'll just start over again. Lay here for a few minutes, and then I got up, and I did it again. Everything was spinning. I was so dizzy. Of course, I told my wife, and she said, well, we're going to have to go to the doctor. Going to have to go get some help. And so I went to the doctor, and you know what? That was on a Saturday, and I was thankful that the doctor was, in fact, in, and he could address that situation. Seems that I had a serious inner ear infection that I had picked up from somehow or other, someplace, whatever, and it was causing me to be so dizzy I couldn't walk straight. In fact, I tried to walk in to the clinic, but that didn't work. So I ended up going in a wheelchair, and by the time I'd seen the doctor and they started the medication, but by the time I got back to the house, I was laying in the van on the back seat. The ride home, I couldn't even get out. I had to wait there until things calmed down and anything. But you know what? The doctor was in. And he was able to treat me and was able to solve that problem. I'm thankful that God is in. And He can do something about the problems that we face. We can look to Him. It's not that He doesn't know what's going on. He does know what's going on. And He is the one who can provide that power and bring about the end of failure. Not only that, He brings provision. The end, the meeting of our needs, the end of our needs. I'm thankful that the Lord is faithful. He has been faithful all across the years. Just take a moment to testify this morning. When we came 27 years ago, almost, 26 and a half, and we came to the college without the promise of a salary and just entrusting the Lord. That was a switch. That was a change. Thankful for Five Mile and for their assistance. But I told the Lord this. I said, well, Lord, I'll be here for a little while. I'll stay as long as you pay for it. I have four kids at the time, raising four, and a fifth on the way. Matthew was born here. And I'm thinking, Lord, you called me here. You'll have to take care of me and my family. Well, I want to testify this morning. That's exactly what God has done. And He has taken care of us, and we rejoice that He is able to provide for our needs. I'm reminded of the case when a student was in school. They're facing a school bill that they couldn't pay. And so they headed to the business office, and they were going to felt that they were going to have to withdraw from school and find some other way. And then when they went in to withdraw, they found out that somebody had deposited money on their account and had met that need. We never really know how the Lord is going to meet our needs, but I'm thankful that He does. He gives and provides for us. So I didn't say He gives us everything we want. He takes care of our needs. And not only that, but He is defeats the preponderant. Now that's a good word, isn't it? That's the thinker. He is the end of arguments. It reminds me of the story of a couple of young men. They were in school and they were trying to deal with a math problem, and they weren't coming up with the same answers, and they weren't sure how to do it. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? I can tell you that math books are some of the hardest books to read. But when somebody comes along and goes right through the steps, and we have the answer, and it's the end of the argument. And that situation, those two boys were arguing over the problem, couldn't figure it out, and their instructor came in, the teacher came in, showed them the way, showed them how to do it, and it was the end of the argument. I want to tell you, God is the answer and the end of arguments. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is also the potentate, King of Kings, the end of idolatry. As we read these verses of Scripture in Habakkuk, talking about idolatry and the foolishness of it, of how people could carve an idol and then ask it for wisdom. Any kind of wisdom it gets is going to be lies. Then they carve wood and cover it with silver and gold so that it looks pretty, but it's still just a core of wood that's going to rot over time. These aren't anything, but it is God who gives life. The Lord who is in you gives us our life. People have spent a long time, many, many hours of experiments and all kinds of different experiments trying to produce life, and have failed at every point. For all of the wisdom, all of the science, all of the things that we have, there isn't anybody who can produce life by itself. Life comes from life. And it goes all the way back to when God breathed the breath of life. He's the one who made it. We should worship the one who provides life, who gives life. Not dumb idols that can't do anything. And then He is the propitiation. You say, what does that mean? The sacrifice for our sins. It is not just physical life that our Jesus brings. He brings spiritual life as well. If we were to look earlier into this section of Scripture, the second chapter here, we would find out that He describes people who are proud and Verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. He deals with the greedy. Verse 5, indeed, because he transgresses by wine, is a proud man, doesn't stay at home, enlarges his desire as hell, is like death, cannot be satisfied. He also talks about those who are violent and manipulative. In verse 8, because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity, because it's not of the Lord of hosts. He talks about those who are caught up in covetousness. In verse 9, woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. He talks about those who are caught up in drinking. Verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle even to make him drunk. And then he talks about immodesty and nudity. Verse 15, that he may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. These are the sinful conditions that he was addressing in their time. These are sinful conditions that exist in our day as well. People have gone their own way. They have turned away from the Lord Jesus. But he is our propitiation. He died on the cross to take your penalty and mine upon himself and bring to us spiritual life. Not just physical life, but spiritual life as well. He is in his temple. He is in us. And as when we come to him in repentance and faith and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, he forgives our sins and becomes a part of our lives. He is in the temple, you and me. And we walk with the Lord. We are bearers of his presence and of his truth. He brings his presence. He brings his protection. He brings his power. He brings his provision. He brings his truth. He brings his lordship. And he brings salvation. Our Lord is in. Is he in your life today? We need him in every part of our life. We should be all for him, with no parts held back. He's in his temple. Will you stand with me this morning? And Lord, we want to praise you because our lives have been transformed by your presence. And so this morning, Lord, for each one who is here, each one who's watching, I pray that you will help each one of us to look to you for the things that we need. And if there is anyone in the service this morning who does not know you as their personal Savior, help them to realize that just because they know about you and they know that you were born, that you died and rose again, is not enough. They're not going to have the blessings that you bring and the salvation that you provide unless they have a personal relationship with you. Lord, we don't want to leave you out of the temple. We want you to be in our hearts and lives. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you'd say to the pastor this morning, I'm really not right with the Lord. I'm not walking vibrantly with him, and parts of my life have not been given to him, and maybe none of it. But this morning, I want to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Would you just slip up your hand, put it back down? Is there anybody like that this morning? Just up and back down again. And if you're online, I just encourage you to go ahead and make a note, a comment, or else email me at PastorTom@5milechurch.org. Be glad to pray with you and help you on the way in our discipleship. And Lord, as we go from here, remind us, we go with you. Our Lord is in. pray for your blessings on your people as we serve you and walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.